Let's just worship the Lord. You can all stand if you could. While you're standing, the Mountain Dew Bandit has struck again with an advertisement for Doritos and a Snicker bag, 100 calories per square inch. It's all right if you just eat one square inch, but who could just eat one square inch, right? We are going to be reading tonight from, starting off from the book of 1 Chronicles 28:20. David is king, he's growing old, he's giving a charge to his son Solomon. And David said unto Solomon's son, be strong and of good courage, and do it, fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee or forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. You can be seated tonight. I'd like to talk to you. I'm just going to talk tonight, if that's all right. And, of course, I've said that before and end up just getting totally out of control. Depends how much Mountain Dew and Snicker bars I have. But I want to talk to you tonight on the topic of time for courage. Time for courage. After conquering the land of Canaan, known as the Promised Land, the Israelites gathered around Joshua to hear his last charge to the people before he passed from the scene. Joshua began to remind Israel of the great things that the Lord had done for them and the great things that their forefathers in saving and preserving their lives. He talked to them about Abraham, how that God had saved Abraham from the wicked idolatry, a false worship practiced by his fathers and no doubt his forefathers, and God had called him out of a land and sent him into a land of Canaan, where God began to lead Abraham throughout the land of Canaan. And there, as the years rolled by, the generations went by, his seed began to multiply. And he reminded them as how they ended up in Egypt. Those descendants, it was their descendants, the Israelites, served the Egyptians in bondage for many years until God raised up a deliverer unto them and brought them out of the land of bondage. God afflicted the Egyptians with great plagues and caused the waters of the Red Sea to part and caused the destruction of the Egyptians. Joshua then reminded the Israelites in a powerful way in which God had delivered the inhabitants and the possessions of his land, their land, the promised land, into the hands of the Israelites. They had neither earned it themselves, nor were they deserving of it. But because God had made a covenant, a promise with Abraham, affirming his love to them, giving them blessings that they themselves did not earn. And God says in Joshua 24:13, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not. And you dwell in them of the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted, not do ye eat. Joshua went on to explain to them what a merciful and a glorious God, and what that God expected out of them. Now therefore, fear the Lord, Joshua charges them, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and ye serve ye the Lord. He desired that they would choose Jehovah God and not forsake Jehovah, and that they would forsake the false idolatry of all of their fathers. And then he ends up, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other sides of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And all of Israel cried out in unison, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for the Lord our God, it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Then Joshua declared that the people were witnesses unto themselves, and that they had made a choice that day as to who they would serve. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. This scene occurs at the closing stages of the book of Joshua, but it underlines the entire purpose of the book of Joshua. We read in Joshua chapter 1, when Moses had passed from the scene, God placed Joshua as a new leader over the Israelites. God then reminded Joshua and the Israelites of the importance of obeying his divine law as revealed through the prophet of Moses. We read in Joshua 1 verse 8, The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. God gives a charge to Joshua. Perhaps God saw in Joshua a bit of fear. Maybe he saw in him a bit of timidness, not quite sure as to what the next step should be, because God goes on and continues to speak to Joshua, and he tells him, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge us tonight, Calvary Gospel Church, to be strong and of good courage, for the Lord is with us wherever we shall go. Understand that prior entering into the promised land, the children of Israel were camped on the east side of the Jordan River. And in order to cross into the land of the Israelites that God had promised them, they would have to cross the river. God had previously given command unto Joshua to cross the river, saying, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give thee. Sometimes courage doesn't come without a challenge. I believe tonight that God desires to give, and God is giving all of us courage. He has given us faith, and he is giving us courage, and he is giving us power and authority. But with that courage, there has to be some battles and some rivers and some obstacles that are going to be in our way. And Joshua relayed the command unto the leaders of the host of Israel, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals. He He's saying, put together a little bit of food here, folks. For within 3 days, we shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commanded us to do, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things. So we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God will be with thee as he was with Moses. Only be strong and of good courage. So now the people are telling Joshua to be strong and of good courage. As God was with Moses, he will also be with you. Trust and faith in the Lord. Trust and faith in the Lord. We have spoken on these topics many times as of late. Trust and faith were not the only thing necessary for the children of Israel to obtain blessings from the Lord. They also needed to be spiritually pure before the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. And I love this verse of scripture. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Church, we have gone through a sanctification process. 21 days, and I know we talk about this, and we're going to move on this weekend, but 21 days of fasting and prayer and of sanctification and of repentance. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as they bear the Ark, were came unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at this time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed right over right against Jericho, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass, you remember, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And the next day they were standing in the middle of the Jordan River on bone dry land. Their faith and their sanctification, their faith and their repentance, their trust and their faith in their God, their sanctification process, their repentance process had been answered by the Lord in a miraculous work that rivaled the parting of the Red Sea. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites. Oh yeah, and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. You didn't know the Jacobites were in the Bible, did you? Well, back to the future. Anyway, when the Israelites came unto Jericho, they made a choice. They chose to serve the Lord. And being strong and of good courage, they listened to the voice of Joshua in all things. They remembered the mighty miracle of crossing the Jordan on dry ground. And they believed that the Lord would also miraculously deliver the land a promise, including the city of Jericho, into their hands. Church, I've laid all of this out because I believe that this night we are on the eve of our kingdom. Over the years, God has spoken to me in many varied ways. Some of that I did not understand until now. Some 10 years ago, God gave me a dream. And it was a very amazing dream. And I did not know, nor did I understand at the time what it all meant. And I went to midwinter camp this last week in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And Thursday night, as the preacher began to preach, and as he was preaching, it was as if God was sitting right next to me, speaking into my spirit. The preacher began to speak of Joseph, how he was his father's favorite, and how he had the coat of many colors, but he also had a dream. And he knew where he was. He understood where he was. He was in his father's home. He was his father's favorite. And he knew where he was going because he had, in his dream, he had all of his brothers were bowing to him. But yet there was this middle part, there was this middle section of his life that was yet to be filled. There was a lot of life that was going to have to be lived. And you may be here tonight and you may know and understand maybe the beginning of where God has called you, but you also, maybe God has showed you something about the end or where you're going to end up, but you have no idea as to how to get there. There was this little part in the middle, and little did he know that he would be betrayed and sold into slavery by his own brothers. He would end up in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife lies on him. Now he is in prison. And this dream so far away, no doubt he had times of disappointment and frustration, yet he kept on living as if his dream had never left him. You may be sitting here tonight listening to these words, knowing where you started and knowing what God has promised, yet there's all of this space and there's all of this time and you have no idea as to which direction to go and what to do to fill it. And as God began to speak to me, I asked God the same thing. God, you promised so many things. Lord, where are your promises? What more, Lord, do I have to do? What more, Lord, do we have to do? You see, sometimes in order to find out just exactly where we are going or where you are going, God has to take you back to the beginning. And God began to take me back to a beginning some 10 years ago plus when God gave me a dream. I'd like to share some of this with you tonight. And I want to, there's a reason behind this. God gave me this dream. And as I began to have this dream, there was a church. The church was full of people. I don't know where they came from. I have no idea how they got here. But the church was full of people and we were having revival services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we had been going. I had the impression in this dream that we had been going for weeks and weeks and weeks, Brother Hawk. I remember we had preaching points all over the city, and we had vehicles, buses of all sorts of sizes and shapes, moving people out of here all over for services. And I remember that it was a dark time, and as I looked out over the city, as I walked out through the doors and looked at the people as they were lined up across the parking lot, I could feel a heaviness in their spirit, and the lights of the city were dim. As I came in to the sanctuary here, Sister Vicky was playing the keyboard. I remember Sister Jane Braisman was sitting right where she's sitting tonight. Those were the only two people I recognized in the whole building. And it was literally packed full of people. I do remember walking through the back side door here, and Brother Rossing and a team of men were baptizing people from the previous service. And they were lined up all the way down the hallway, all the way down the office complex, out the door into the waiting to get baptized. That was one season in the dream. I remember as we began to sing, it was not loud, powerful worship like apostolic singing like we are used to. It was a very soft, but very deep and a very powerful move of the Holy Ghost as it began to flow through this place. And I got up and I remember just preaching a simple message of repentance. And as I began to lead the crowd into the process of repentance and how you repent, the Holy Ghost began to move across the place in just literal waves of the Holy Ghost. And people all over tears began to flow down their cheeks as they lifted their hands up and they began to quietly worship God. And I could hear it speaking in tongues as it began to work its way across the sanctuary. Total strangers having no idea who they were. I didn't know any of them. And the power of the Holy Ghost was so strong. I didn't have to do much. It's as if God was in total control of everything that was happening. And that was one season, and I remember at the conclusion of the service, I walked through the double doors, and I was going to go back to my office, and I had a cot in my office, and I was going to relax until the next service time. The sanctuary was full, and I remember I woke up. And I was so disappointed as I sat up in bed in our bedroom, and I looked across, and I could see the closet doors in the dark, and began to wonder, did this really happen? Did I really have this dream? Or was it just my imagination? And the most unusual thing, as I sat up in bed, tears running down my face, the dream continued. I remember as I looked at the wall, it was as though I was watching a large screen TV before there were large screen TVs began to come alive. And I don't know if you want to call it a vision or what, but I was so freaked out. I began to pinch myself and poke myself in the face thinking, am I really seeing what I'm seeing? I don't consider myself an overly spiritual individual. Most of my dreams have things to do like Mountain Dew, Snickers, pepperoni pizza, and absolutely unbelievably crazy stuff that I wonder, where did that ever come from? But you see, now I realize that I am awake. I remember walking out into the parking lot. The sun was shining. It's as though the season of time had changed. I don't know exactly what time of the year it was, other than it felt to me that it was the spring time of the year. The wind was strong from the south, and I walked around, and as I began to round the corner of the grass, the big tree out in the front there, the big Colorado spruce tree, there was a group of men that came up and gave me a hard hat and said, "Pastor, we're going to go and we're going to have a walkthrough, and we want you to see the new building and what we have accomplished this past week." As we proceeded to enter into the new building that was being built, I felt no pressure at all as to the cost or the finances of the building. I was aware in my spirit that some sort of a miracle had taken place and that all of this was already paid for. As I entered into the building, I could see job trailers lined up all along the south side of the property of all the various companies that were working on the building. And a worker came up to me that was right near we were standing, and I remember him distinctively saying, "Pastor." I never picked up on that before, and as I began to go back and look over this dream, I wondered why at the time he would say that, because at the time that I had this dream, I wasn't even working for the church. I also remembered that it was odd to me that my father was not conducting the walkthrough. I didn't understand that. I thought, why am I doing this? Is Dad sick? It didn't make any sense to me at the time. I do remember the young man as he began to talk to me. I remember he was a Hispanic gentleman. And he says, "Pastor, we're working around the clock to get this finished. for your church, because we know you need this, because it's an amazing thing that is happening here, to begin to allude to the fact that him, his wife, and his family were now members of our church. We finished the walk through, and as we walked back outside, the sun was bright, the wind was blowing strong. The wall went blank. I sat there in a stunned silence. You see, I didn't understand church. I was confused because there were many more questions than answered. Months later, I shared this dream with my father, and it was a few months after that that he had asked me to share this with the church. And at that time, I was still not working here full time. You see, time has come and time has gone. And I know where God desires to take us. But I had no idea as to how to get there. At times, I was afraid. And as time moved on and I became part of the staff here and things all changed and I end up where I'm at now over a period of time. At times, through this process, I was afraid and I just wanted to quit. I felt that I knew where God was calling me, but I was still struggling with that. I did all that I could wherever I was placed to do my best for the kingdom of God. And many times I succeeded and many times I fell short. But those words kept ringing in my ears, church, be strong and of good courage. Stay strong, be of good courage. I cannot always say that I was strong, nor I had the courage, but God kept on leading. I want to encourage you tonight. You may be struggling. You may not know, but be strong and of good courage and don't quit. We've had so many prophecies, church, and words spoken over this church, and God has spoken so many times to the great signs and wonders that He's going to do here in this city. And as we completed these past 21 days, we went through some battles in our flesh. Some of you have shared some of those battles that you have gone through, and some of you have gone through and you have come out a very different individual as when you had started. And my heart is so full tonight because God is doing such a marvelous work amongst us. God is going to continue to do marvelous works among us. We must continue to stay in a process of repentance. It's not just something that we do when we fast. It's not just something that we do periodically. It's a something that we need to do on a daily basis. God delivered so many people from strongholds that have held them back for years. Tonight, or this afternoon, as I was sitting in my chair at home, praying as to this message tonight, not really for sure as to what God was looking or what God was wanting to do tonight, God brought to me and reminded me of another dream that He had given me. I shared this with the church. It was on a Sunday morning. It was probably a year and a half, maybe even 2 years ago. It reminded me of the dream, and at that time, it made little sense to me. I didn't understand it. Again, there are some things that I began to understand in the first dream as time began to unfold, and I didn't understand the timing of this next dream, but then again, so much of what God does, to be honest, makes little sense to me. Sometimes I struggle, and I say, God, help me to understand. I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. We've all been there. We've all understood that. I know right now, church, precisely where we are. As I begin to weep in my room today, God brought me to this point, Bishop, and He said, this right here is where this church is. You don't have to ask anymore. You don't have to try to figure out where you are. I'm showing you. I showed you right Now is where you are, and you are at the warehouse. How many of you remember that Sunday morning that I shared this dream? I was walking through a large field. I had no idea where I was. Many of my dreams are that way. Walking through a large field, I found it was odd because I came across this unbelievably large-looking warehouse building. There was a parking place, a parking area around it. As I walked out of the field, I nearly stumbled over one of the curb markers there, those concrete parking curb things, whatever they're called. And I nearly stumbled over that because it was so grown up with the weeds. And I could look, and underneath my feet, I began to look around as I walked. And it was like, well, this is a parking lot. What kind of place is this? I looked around. I couldn't really see where the road even came into the place. It was a very desolate, destitute area. The road was distinguished. It was hard to distinguish. I could see over a fence. It was a chain link fence, and it had those little ribbons that go through and the various angles so you can't see in, and the wind and the weather and time had deteriorated, and I could see big openings, and I began to look through and into a loading dock looking area behind, and it was all grown up, and there was all kinds of stuff just scattered around. It didn't really make any sense to me. There were odd-looking pallets sitting all around in back, and the only windows in the building were high, high up. Dust covered the windows, and a few of them were broken out, and you could see as the pigeons would fly in and out of the building. I was curious, and I was looking for a way inside, and I found a door, and I pushed it open. And as the light went through the opening of the door, I heard a series of moaning and groanings and some scurrying about, and I heard an eerie rattle sound. As my eyes adjusted to the darkness, I could see people all around. They were sitting on all sorts of sizes of shapes of pallets and boxes and old-looking machinery, dust, tired, haggard looking, weary from a fight of some sorts. I kept tripping over things on the floor, and as my eyes began to adjust, I looked even closer. And there on the floor, I could see all kinds of old shields, all kinds of old, tattered military attire, old shoes, poor state of repair. I could see old swords, implements of war. I didn't know what kind of building this was. I didn't know. And as I began to look at the people more closely, I recognized many of them. Actually, I saw many of you sitting here tonight in that warehouse. You see, you were bound, you were shackled, and you were chained. As I began to ask questions as to how this happened, how did you get here? What is this place? How long has it been? I sat down on a large pallet with burlap bags deteriorating over them, covered in dust, and I began to talk to an individual. The individual I began to talk to is actually sitting here tonight. Tears began to run down your face. The dust and the dirt, shabby and torn. You began to tell me all about how you became bound. Oh, that at one time your life was so free and you felt so much freedom. You had the freedom to worship. You had the freedom to praise God. And life was very good. But yet, over a period of time, meeting certainty begin to set in. Complacency begin to set in. You can't really give an exact time or an exact moment in your life. But you begin to come to church and still a feeling free. As God would intend us to feel. You would come in bound and you would leave bound. And you couldn't understand why it had happened. You didn't know when it had happened. And it just happened. As I listened to your cries, you became bound willingly. I asked, how did you become bound? How did this happen? You see, you did not become bound by the enemy by losing in a fight. The enemy did not even capture you in battle. You became bound because you willingly laid down your armor. I remember as I began to ponder and as I listened, I was ready to get up and face my own fears and take out the enemy, not wanting to become bound. But as I got up and I went to pick up my own armor that I had taken off as I had sat down, I looked down only to realize that I too was in shackles. I became terrified. I began to cry out to God. I want to encourage you here tonight. God desires for you to have your breakthrough. And if you are still bound tonight, God wants to give you your freedom. I began to cry out and begin to encourage all those around that were bound to cry out to the Lord. As we began to cry out, we began to pray, a spirit of repentance fell across the place. I don't know how long we prayed. I don't know how long we repented. But I remember it seemed like hours, but perhaps it was only seconds in the dream. And the door of the building was a massive door. I tried to get through it and I couldn't get through it because it was all rusted shut. But I remember the door of the building literally exploded open. And the room, the whole room, the massive interior of this warehouse was filled with a powerful, intense beam of light. And my eyes, as I began to struggle with the brightness, and I opened my eyes and squinting through the light, I could see the end of a huge two-edged sword. And as that two-edged sword began to move within that big, large warehouse, everywhere it went, the shackles began to fall off and the chains began to fall. The light was so intense, so bright, and I could see as many of you here tonight begin to run towards that light. After the dream was over, I was very emotional and I was troubled, and I said, God, how can it be so many people willingly laying down their weapons even without a fight? God, how can that happen? God, how can we be lured into complacency? How can we be lured into surrendering without even firing the shot? How can we be lured into giving up without even fighting a battle? You see, church, this fast, this purging, this time of repentance is the warehouse. It's time, as Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Tomorrow, God is going to do miracles, the miraculous, the supernatural among us. The time of repenting, the time of shackles, the time of being bound, the time of frustration, the time of anger, the time of all of this, it is over. It is time, a new season, a season of courage, a season of strength, a season of power, and a season of spiritual authority in our lives. You see, I know and I understand now what my shackles were. My shackles, Brother Scott, was fear and intimidation. You see, that's why God led me into my next dream. I've only had three, so don't ask for any more. I shared this not too long ago. You see, God showed me Ned for one reason. He showed me Ned so I would not be afraid, that I would not be intimidated, and the enemy has nothing over me. You see, we have the power and authority over the spirits in this city. God was telling me to be strong and courageous. Listen to me for a minute. What if being strong and courageous, what if being strong and courageous is not an issue or having anything about fear, but it is an affirmation. It is a confirmation of faith from God. So many times we look at that, be strong and courageous, as if we are fighting or we are afraid of fear and God is trying to bring us out of that. But maybe God is trying to affirm in us faith when he says, be strong and of courage. As I was with Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. As I was with Israel, Calvary Gospel Church, I will be with you. There are going to be Neds in our lives. We're not done fighting this battle. This is just the beginning of a battle, but it is the beginning of a new level of warfare that we are entering into, and God is going to give us a victory. You see, being strong and courageous is a call to bring out the best in people. Being strong is not about being foolish, but being strong and courageous is not about having your A game on. Being strong and courageous is not having the strength that you can muster, but the strength that Jesus Christ gives to us in the power of the Holy Ghost. He has given all of us the power of the Holy Ghost. And in that power, there is strength. There is strength and there is authority. And it is time for us to take that power and take that authority and use it. You see, when Moses died, God appointed Joshua to lead the nation of Israel into the land of promise. And he was to lead more than 2 million people into Canaan and defeat the armies of the nations that occupied the land. Understand one thing. The only thing that stood between them and their promise was a bunch of squatters. And some of us tonight, we still haven't been able to break free. And I want to challenge you tonight. You need to get rid of the squatters that are in your life. I want to challenge you to take the devil and kick him to the curb. Get him out of your life. I don't care what you gotta do. I don't care how much more you gotta pray or how much more you gotta fast. We are going to conquer this city because the only thing standing between us and victory is the enemy. It was a daunting task, and God knew that there would be many times when Joshua would feel overwhelmed. I believe that God gave me these three dreams, me not even knowing where I would be some 10, 11, 12 years down the road. But God gave me these dreams and says, I want you, Roy Howard Grant, to be strong. I want you to be of good courage, because someday you don't know it yet. I didn't understand it yet, but someday you will be leading an army and you will be conquering, going from house to house, a neighborhood to neighborhood, village to village, and town to town, just as Joshua went through Canaan. God gave Joshua some 30 kings in the first 15 chapters of the book of Joshua. I'm believing God is going to give us 30 cities, towns, and villages in Dane County. Why not? You see, although we may not be called to lead millions in battle, we face a different kind of a battle. If you would stand tonight, God told Moses, Joshua 1:5, I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you, Joshua. I will not abandon you. I will not forsake thee. Listen, I want to encourage you tonight. We're going into a season, Sunday morning and Sunday night, we're going into a season of expectation. And I have done my best, Bishop, to try to prepare as much as I possibly can this congregation. Listen, when Israel crossed Jordan, they all crossed. Some wanted to stay behind. Joshua says, no, you're going with us. You can leave your cattle here. You can leave your herds here. But you're going. And I believe that God desires for every last individual in this building to share this victory. It's not just my victory. It's not Bishop's victory. It's not even our victory. It's God's victory. God desires that each and every one of us share that victory. You see, to us tonight, God is saying, be strong and courageous, church. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I've got this. So I want to invite you to come down to this altar. Maybe tonight you haven't quite had. We had a powerful service Sunday morning, a powerful service Sunday night. Maybe you haven't quite got to that point. Listen, church. Sunday morning, we're crossing over. I know I've used this analogy many times. But God is going to do miracles. God is going to do signs and wonders. And I want to challenge every last one of you. Pray for strength. Pray for courage.